Okay, good morning. The shiur this morning is sponsored by Merrill and Gary Hoffman in memory of Usher Hoffman Zal. Rav Sacks will, God willing, be here next week for a shiur, the covered God over Rav Sacks.
I can even choose any topic now. Very good.
Let's not create a decide, just for you.
Parshas Truma begins with various aspects of Binyan HaMishkan, and as the Gemara writes, V'chein Tasu L'doros, that these halachos apply to Binyan Beis HaMikdash as well. And one of the examples that you find that's mentioned in the Parsha is the purpose of the Shulchan and the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. The Torah tells us that we're obligated to construct the Shulchan, and what is it we do? That Nesata Al HaShulchan Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid, that we're obligated to see to it that the Lechem HaPanim indeed are present. And the fact that the Torah mentions that seems to underscore a very simple question, and that is that why is it that the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim is even mentioned at all in the Parsha itself? After all, if one were to ask you, where would I look in Chumash to find the details of the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, you really wouldn't tell them Parshas Truma. You would tell them to look in Parshas Emor. And that's where the Torah writes at greater length all of the details of the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. The Sidur HaLechem, that it's necessary to have 12 challos that are placed each and every Shabbos, and the role of the Bezichi Levona, that they're offered al Gabi HaMizbeach, and then the Konim go ahead and partake, they eat of the Lechem HaPanim. All of those details are found in Parshas Emor. And therefore we understand very well why it is that the Torah emphasizes it's necessary to have a Shulchan. After all, that is part of the mitzvah of Binyan HaMishkan, but somewhat surprising that the Torah underscores the element of Lechem HaPanim. In fact, if you look in the Rambam, found in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Chav Zayin, and this is also found in the Rambam in the very beginning of Yad HaChazakah, in the Minyan HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. The Rambam writes the mitzvah is Sidur HaLechem, to go ahead and to arrange the 12 challos on the Shulchan. And the Rambam cites the Pasuk somewhat surprisingly from Parshas Truma. That is the source of the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. If you look, for example, in the Smag also writes there's a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, but the Smag doesn't cite this Parsha, but rather the Smag cites Parshas Emor. That's the main, the primary Parsha that deals with those details of Lechem HaPanim. So therefore, the Rambam and the Smag agree, a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, but interesting, they quote different sukkim to underscore the source of this chiyu. Perhaps one could argue that it's not necessarily an essential machlokas. Perhaps one could see both possibilities. When a person mentions that there is a mitzvah, and you cite its source, what source exactly is it appropriate to cite? Maybe one could argue that you cite the first mention of the particular mitzvah, that would mean Parshas Truma, or perhaps one could cite the primary source, which is Parshas Emor. So therefore, not necessarily a machlokas between the Rambam and the Smag when they cite a particular pasuk, because both, we understand, are quite meaningful. The initial reference, Parshas Truma, the primary source is Parshas Emor, but perhaps one could argue that no, that there's something else that the Rambam is attempting to convey by citing this pasuk in Truma, because as he mentioned, it is so much surprising that the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim is even mentioned in Parshas Truma. If this is the blueprint, if this is the Binyan HaMishkan, is it really so critical, Lechem HaPanim, as part of the Binyan HaMishkan itself? Furthermore, when you look at the Rambam in those places, in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Chav Zayin, in the Minyan HaMitzvos, also in Mitzvah Chav Zayin, there the Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, and that is a mitzvah of Sidur, Sidur HaLechem, to arrange the Lechem HaPanim. And the Ravid there in the Yad HaChazakah, in the very beginning, the Minyan HaMitzvos, is Masik and raises the following kasha. You're right, that's one element of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of arranging the Lechem HaPanim. But isn't there also a mitzvah of offering the Bezichi Levona, the Hakravas HaBezichim? Isn't there also a mitzvah Achila? It's necessary for the Kohanim to go in to partake of the Lechem HaPanim? So therefore, the Rabbi writes that why is it that the Rambam only mentions the Sidur Halachim? You're right that that is a mitzvah, no doubt, but there is also the Sidur, the Haktara, and the Achila. And therefore, the Rabbi writes, once you're going to count Lechem Apanim, perhaps count it as three independent mitzvahs, don't simply count it as one mitzvah. And perhaps what comes to mind to answer the Rambam is as follows, that this is not so unusual to have what we term chelek mechelkei ha-mitzvos. Sometimes you have just different elements of a mitzvah. When it comes to Dalet Minim, there's a mitzvah of Lulav, the Nesrav, the Hadassim, the Aravos. That is four different mitzvos, but rather is a single mitzvah. When it comes to Chalitza, there's the Chalitza, there's the Rekika, there's the Kriya Saparsha. Not as three separate mitzvahs, but as one mitzvah. So perhaps this is true, that there's a single mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. But what is somewhat surprising is as follows. When the Rambam defines for us the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, the Rambam doesn't only mention Lulav. The Rambam doesn't only mention Esrog. The Rambam mentions all the elements of the mitzvah, even though you're right that each one is indispensable and therefore is considered to be a single mitzvah. And the same thing is true when it comes to chalitz as well. Here's if you'll argue that the Rambam in principle agrees that there are three elements to the mitzvah, so the Rambam should at least underscore that there are three chelkei ha-mitzvah, although it's considered to be one mitzvah. And surprisingly, the Rambam makes no mention of the hakrava, the Rambam makes no mention of the achila, the Rambam only mentions the sidur halechem. So far, these two possible views. The Rambam, right, who maintains that there is a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, and that is a mitzvah of Sidur, arranging the Lechem HaPanim on each and every Shabbos. And the Rabbi who writes that no, there should be a multiple mitzvah. After all, one should include as well the Hakrava, as well as the Achila. And perhaps even a further view that we discussed earlier, and that is the view of the Rambam. The Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah in Sefer Mitzvos Mitzvachov, Vosli Mikdash Veshachanti Besochan, and the Rambam writes that what exactly is the definition of that mitzvah? The mitzvah is to construct a Mishkan, as well as the Doros of Beis HaMikdash, and to fully furnish the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash as well. So the Rambam writes that included in that mitzvah, Vosli Mikdash Veshachanti Besochan, is not only the Mikdash, but also Klei HaMikdash as well. After all, we know that there are Taryag Mitzvos, the Drosh of Rabbi Simlai, but if you're going to count every Tzivui and all these Parshios and Truma, Tetzava independently, you're going to far exceed the cap of Taryag Mitzvos. So somehow it's necessary to consolidate. So how exactly do you do so? So the Rambam writes a single mitzvah, Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, and that includes not only the Mishkan, the Mikdash, but also the Klei HaMishkan, the Klei HaMikdash as well. And the Rambam disagrees. This Rambam is found later in Mitzvah Saseh Lamed Gimel, where the Rambam writes that I maintain that is not the case. I agree with the Rambam that you don't count each and every one of the Klei HaMikdash independently. If you do that, you're going to exceed that cap. So you can't count each one independently. But the Rambam writes a very different approach. Why is it, for example, that I don't count furnishing a menorah? Why is it that I don't count that as a mitzvah? Because creating the menorah is only a Heksha mitzvah. The mitzvah really is one of hadlaka saneros, hatava saneros. That is the mitzvah. The need to fashion the kli, that is only a heksha mitzvah. And therefore, there's a mitzvah of offering karbanos. Creating a mizbeach is just a precondition. So the Ramban writes, I agree, I'm not going to count all the kelim independently, not because it's subsumed under vosli mikdash, but rather because it is a Hechsher Avoda. So two very different reasons. If someone were to ask you, why is it in Sefer Mitzvos that you don't find a mitzvah of creating, building a Mizbeach? According to the Rambam, the answer is it's part of Osli Mikdash. According to the Rambam, it's because the mitzvah is offering karbanos, and creating the requisite kli is only a Hechsher Mitzvah. I had mentioned in earlier Shiurim that this fits in very well with another machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. What is the essence? What is the definition of the Mikdash Hashem? The Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, what is its role? The Rambam stresses in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Chav, the purpose of the Mishkan and Mikdash is a Beis Avoda, a Beis Avoda. And the Ramban, here at the very beginning of Parshas Truma, writes that no, not a Beis Avoda, but rather a Beis HaShchina. In other words, that we were zochet to Grei HaShuras HaShchina at the time of Mamad HaSinai, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to capture and to preserve that Hashras HaShchina L'Doros. How is that possible? That is Vosle Mikdash, V'Shachar Kiddush Alchom. So whereas according to the Rambam's view, the essence of the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a place of Avoda, according to Rambam it's a place of Hashras HaShchina. It once mentioned in the Haggadah that we praise the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to build a base of Bechira, and the Baal HaGadah adds, V'chaper al kol avonoseinu. It sounds as though that the essence of the purpose of the base of HaMikdash is to secure Kapara. That sounds like the Rambam sheet. In other words, it's a base of Avod, it's a Makom, Shemakrivim bo Karbanos, as the Rambam writes, and Ochos base of Bechira. The Rambam writes, it's a place of Hashras HaShchina. And that's what the Rambam writes. So if you look very carefully in the second half of Sefer Shmos, you will find the same terms used to describe the Mishkan as were used to describe Mamet HaSinai, because exactly that point, it is a base HaShchina. That perhaps is l'shitasei in the following sense. If you hold as the Rambam does, that the essence, the purpose of the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a base avoda, it makes perfect sense that the clay avoda should be part of the mitzvah of the mikdash, or shachanti b'selchem. What is the purpose of mikdash? To do avoda. So the fact that in order to facilitate avoda, I require a mizbeach, a menorah, and a shulchan, and the likes, in such a case, it's not coincidental that the Rambam writes, well, of course, that's all part of the same mitzvah. But according to the Ramban, that base HaMikdash is a base HaShchina. So one could envision a base HaShchina without necessarily a menorah, without the avoda of hadlakas aneros. That's why the Ramban maintains that creating the menorah is not part of the mitzvah of Vosle Mikdash v'Shachanti v'Selcham. The Ramban will have to give another reason that he doesn't count that as a separate mitzvah. And that answer of the Ramban is, it's not part of Vosle Mikdash, but it's only a Hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah of Avod is a separate mitzvah. That's Hadlakas HaNeros. And having the requisite kli in order to perform the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeros, that is a Hechsher mitzvah. But that fits in very well with the view of the Rambam and the Ramban. So in other words, according to the view of the Ramban, there would be a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, and included in Lechem HaPanim is also Asiyas HaShulchan. The mitzvah is Lechem HaPanim. Why is it necessary for Asiyas HaShulchan? In order to ensure, to facilitate the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. So again, in a word, this mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, the Rambam writes a single mitzvah, in Mitzvah Sasei Chav Zayin, and that's the mitzvah of Sidur HaLechem. According to the Ramban, there's a mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, but that also includes the Shulchan. According to the other Ravid, there should be three separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Sidur, a mitzvah of the Haktaras HaBezichin, a mitzvah of Achilas Lechem HaPanim. And therefore, no doubt begs the question that why is it that the Rambam only counts the mitzvah of Sidur? What about the Hakrava? What about the Achila? You know, we began by mentioning that the Rambam cites the Pasuk in Parshas Truma. The Rambam doesn't cite the Pasuk of Emor, even though it sounds as though that is the primary Parsha. You know, that could fit in very well as well, because after all, in Parshas Emor, there you find the Sidur HaLechem is mentioned, as well as the Haktarah, as well as the Achila, but the Rambam doesn't mention the Haktarah and Achila as part of the mitzvah. The Rambam only writes the Sidur HaLechem, the arrangement of Lechem HaPanim, and in Parshas Truma, that's all the Pasuk emphasizes, is V'nasata al HaShulchan, Lechem Panim Masonai Tamid, no, V'nesina Salechem, V'sima Salechem, Sidur HaLechem. So in such a case, it's not surprising that the Rambam, who is only emphasizing the mitzvah of Sidur, the Rambam is going to mention its source as Parshas Truma. But I'll have to see again, why is it found in Parshas Truma? This is not a parsha of Avoda. This is a parsha of Binyan HaMishkan. In order to answer the Ravid's difficulty, why does the Rambam merely mention Sidur? The Rambam doesn't mention Kaktara and Achila. Perhaps one could argue the answer simply is as follows. Lechem HaPanim. Isn't that considered to be one of the menachos? The Torah has a whole series of zvachim. The Torah has a whole series of menachos. And Lechem HaPanim is considered to be one of the menachos. Isn't that clear? You know, if you look, for example, in the fifth parak of menachos. Now, so the first mishnah begins, Parakei Mishnah Aleph, Kol HaMenachos. all of the menachos and delineates all the details of menachos. If you look, for example, in the coming Mishnayos in Perakei Mishnah Gimel, there among the menachos, the Mishnah lists Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim is one of the menachos. In fact, if you look at that Mishnah, at Menachos Perakei Mishnah Gimel, the Tosfos Yontif is quite bothered. Because there the Mishnah tells us as follows, that when menachos are brought, some menachos have levona, some have shemen, some have both, some have one, some have neither, and the Mishnah lists all of them. And the Mishnah tells us an example of a mincha that has levona but doesn't have shemen is lechem hapanim. So the Tosfos Yontif from that Mishnah, Menachos Hei Gimel, is so bothered, why is lechem hapanim found in this Mishnah? After all, since when is lechem hapanim considered to be among the menachos? That's the difficulty that the Tosfos Yontif raises. The Tosfos Yontif writes, if you look in Rashi, in Parshas Emor, in Vikra Chavdalet, Rashi does seem to imply that anything that is offered from grains is considered to be a mincha. Rashi Weiss has often pointed out, that's a difficult Tosfos Yontif, because there's so many makoros that seem to emphasize exactly this point, that lechem hapanim is one of the menachos. That Mishnah mentions it. The next Mishnah mentions that that certainly is the case. When the Mishnah lists how it is that you perform the avoda when it comes to mincha, hagasha, tnufa, it lists among them lechem hapanim. When you look in the Gemara at the beginning of menachos, and dav zayin, and dav ches, the Gemara has so many drashos that seems to indicate so explicitly that lechem hapanim is considered to be part of the menachos. It's considered to be part of the menachos. The Gemara raises, for example, the following issue. Normally, when a kohen will do kmitza, so he will go ahead and take the klisharis and he will scoop out to do the kmitza. The Gemara raises the following issue. What happens if the kli is resting on the karka? And the kohen does the kmitza off of the karka? Is that legitimate or is that illegitimate? The Gemara says, of course that's a good kmitza, because after all, isn't exactly that which is done to the lechem hapanim? Because lechem hapanim, we remove the bezichei levona. And lechem hapanim is sitting on the kli, on the shulchan, which is on the karka. So just as the siluk habezichim, that's comparable to the kmitza of a mincha. Because isn't it clear that yes, that lechem hapanim is bechal hamanachos? If you look in Tosfos HaManachos and Daf Nun Hei, Tosfos is explicit that lechem hapanim is considered to be one of the manachos. Lechem hapanim is bechal hamanachos. It's surprising that the Tosfos Yontif should question this fact. It seems to be obvious in the Mishnah, it's explicit in the Sugi Menachos and Avzayin Dav Ches, it's absolutely Mufurish in Tosfos, in Menachos and Dav Menei, that Lechem HaPanim is considered to be Bechlal HaMenachos. See, how does it help to assume that that's true, that Lechem HaPanim is considered to be Bechlal HaMenachos, because perhaps that is exactly the Rambam's view. The Rambam writes, and Sefer HaMitzvos in Mitzvot Tzadi Zayin, that there's a mitzvah of haktaras, hakravas, hamenachos. The Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah of offering the menachos. The Rambam writes a little bit later, in Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Peches, that there is a mitzvah of achilas, hamenachos. So the Rambam writes there's a separate mitzvah to offer menachos. The Rambam writes there's a separate mitzvah of achilas, shiori menachos. Good. Lechem HaPanim is one of the menachos. So the Ravitz Kasha, why does the Rambam only mention Sidur? Why is it that the Rambam ignores the Haktara? Why does the Rambam omit the Achila? Isn't that exactly the answer? The answer is that Lechem HaPanim is Bichlal HaMenachos. There is a mitzvah of Haktara HaMenachos. There is a mitzvah of Achila HaMenachos. Clearly. That is exactly the Rambam Zayin, Sam of Zayin, and Peches. These are mitzvahs according to the Rambam. So therefore, there's no independent mitzvah of achilas lechem hapanim. That's part of the mitzvah of achilas hamenachos. There's no independent mitzvah of hakravas hamenachos. That's part of the mitzvah in the broader sense of hakravas hamenachos. But what about sidur? What about sidur hamenachos? The fact that in each and every Shabbos we're obligated to arrange lechem hapanim, that's part of the mitzvah of achila samanachos? That's part of the mitzvah of hakrava samanachos? Certainly not. That's another mitzvah. It must be a separate mitzvah. And that's why when it comes to lechem apanim, the Rambam counts one unique mitzvah, and that unique mitzvah is the sidur halechem. But the elements of lechem apanim that it has in common with shar hamanachos, yeah, that's part of the broader mitzvah of hakrava samanachos, of achila samanachos, and therefore the Rambam does not count that at all. So therefore you understand very well, according to the Rambam Shita, there is a single mitzvah of lechem hapanim, and that is the sidur halechem. That is obviously not that which overlaps the typical mitzvah of menachos generally, but that is a unique element of, and therefore that is what the Rambam counts. One perhaps could raise the following issue, and that is, now that there is this unique element of Sidur Halechem, how do you understand that? In Lamdas, what is driving the Sidur Halechem? See, one way of understanding is as follows. What do you mean? That's simply part of the Dinei Lechem Hapanim. If someone will ask you, what are the Halachos of Lechem Hapanim? So you'll answer, well, there's Sidur Halechem, there is the Hakrava, there is the Achila, the three elements to the mitzvah of Lechem Hapanim. You're right, our lamdas, that two of them overlap menachos, one of them is unique, and that normally emphasizes the Sidur, but you know what, that the Sidur is just part of the Dinei Lechem Hapanim. Maybe one could argue somewhat differently, and that is that the Sidur Lechem Hapanim is not just simply Dinei Lechem Hapanim, like the Achila is, or like the Hakrava is. Maybe one could argue that the Sidur Halechem is Midinei Hashulchan. Exactly what do we mean, that the Sidur Halechem is a condition of the Shulchan? Maybe as follows. If you look in the beginning of this parsha, there's a fascinating comment. Famini cross gedolos ledasa kinim ebaliatosus. The pasuk begins at the very beginning of the parsha and tells us that, you know, that vizosa truma, this is what you're obligated to bring, the necessary materials to build the Mishkan Hashem. As the pasuk tells us that zav and kesef and nechoshes, tchilas argaman, tova shani, sheis izim, oros elim, adamim, good. Those are all the materials necessary. Good. Then the pasuk continues. This is pasuk vav now. Shemen amor, v'samim l'shemen hamishkan v'ktaras v'samim. That sounds difficult, no? So the pasuk continues. Zayin, avnei sham, avnei miluim. That I understand also. Avnei sham, avnei miluim. That's necessary for construction of the Mishkan. Everything that was mentioned before pasuk vav, construction Mishkan, you have to have zav, kesef, nechosh, I understand. Shemen lamor, you have to have shem in order to kindle the menorah. You have to have the samim for shemen minshka in the ktores, you have to have the samim for the purpose of the ktores. That's part of binyan hamishkan. Why is that part of binyan hamishkan? That in order to offer the ktores, you have to have the samim. Yeah, that's true. And in order to go ahead and plate the menorah, you have to have shemen. Yeah, that's true. That's binyan hamishkan. Why exactly is that found? So if you look in the das, the kain baliatosos, yeah, in the cross gedolos, that's the kash of the baliatosos. The temahi, what is this pasuk doing here? What is this pasuk doing here? The pasuk doesn't tell us that you have to have animals for hakravas hakarbanos. The pasuk doesn't tell us you have to have tefillah, for example, to offer a korban mincha. So the pasuk tells us you have to have shemen to light the menorah. And you have to have besamim for the mitzvah of ktores. Why is all of that true? Why is that found in this parsha? That's Tosus's kasha. So Tosus writes a pretty incredible derech. Tosus writes, look, if these things are found, if all these ingredients are necessary in these parshios, it must be that this is for the purpose of binyan hamishkan. So I understand, zahav, kesef, mechoshes, all that is necessary for binyan hamishkan. Shemen amor, the shemen to light the menorah is necessary for binyan hamishkan. The besamim for the ktoros is necessary for binyan hamishkan. So Tosfos writes, absolutely yes. In what sense? Tosfos writes as follows. Imagine, Tosfos writes, you're going to a palace. No, you're going to the king's residence. And you walk in, and it's completely dark. And the one who's giving you the tour guide will say, oh, I forgot to turn on the lights. I have to turn on the lights. No? Let's assume, for example, you walk in and there's a foul odor. No? And all of a sudden they start taking out fragrance in order to see to it that, you know, it's pleasant, it's pleasant. Yeah, Balei HaTosfos said, that can't be, that can't be. No? The fact that, like, the king's palace is ma'or, mubusam, the fact that it's illuminated, and the fact that it emits, right, a fitting fragrance, that's not just a mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah. That's part of the Surah Sabayis. That's a condition of. That would be very surprising if you walk into the palace and there are no fixtures, right? And you try to turn the light on and it doesn't quite work. You have to change the light bulbs. That can't be. That's part of the Tzuras Habayis. That's what Tosfos writes. Therefore, Tosfos explains when the Torah tells us that you have to have, right, a proper Mishkan. The proper Mishkan includes the ambience, it includes the illumination, it includes the... It's not going to include the animal that's offered for a carbon. That's a mitzvah of avoda. But Hadlaka Saneros is not merely a mitzvah, but that is part of a description of the Tzuras Habayis. Well, that's what Tosfos says. And that's why... What materials are necessary for Binyan HaMishkan? Not only the Kesev, Zav Nechoshes, but also the Shem and Lamor, and the Besamim for the Ktores, because that is part of Binyan. That is part of the Tzuras Habayis as well. That's what Tosfos writes in the very beginning of the Parsha, and therefore so beautifully, that these details are mentioned as part of Binyan, as part of Asli Mikdash, V'Shachati B'Socham, not merely as parts of the Avodas HaMikdash. That's the Chiddush that Tosfos writes. Perhaps one could argue...
What about the Avnei Shoham, Avnei Meluim?
Right. So that's certainly...
Is that in its opinion?
Right. So in other words, those are parts of the Kelim. And that doesn't seem like the Rambam Shita. Kelim are part of, right? The Siyas HaKelim, in order to have the necessary Kelim, that's part of the mitzvah of Osli Mikdash V'Shachati B'Socham. But here it sounds as though you need Shemin just for the mitzvah of Havakas and Eros. No, you need it to illuminate, right? The Mishkan, the Mikdash, and that illumination is part of the Tzuras Habayis. So perhaps one could argue as follows. Now you come across, right, the Shulchan, and the Torah tells us that Benasat al-Shulchan, Lechem Panim L'Fanay Tamid, Lechem HaPanim. Maybe one could argue as follows. This was an addition that Rabbi Shweiss suggested above and beyond that view of Tosus. And that is, maybe the same is true when it comes to Lechem HaPanim as well. Maybe the same is true. Why is it necessary to have Lechem HaPanim? Avoda. Avoda, true. Is it only Avoda? That it's one of the Menachos? And therefore, yes, that just as you offer Menachos, you have to offer Lechem HaPanim? True, that certainly is the case. But there's another halacha, another element to Lechem HaPanim, and that is the Tzuras HaShulchan. The Tzuras HaShulchan. In other words, you walk into the palace of the king, and the table is there. The table is absolutely empty. No, the table is incomplete. In other words, in order to have an appropriate shulchan in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash Hashem, it has to be, to use a common term, a shulchan aruch. It has to be a set table. It can't just be a table, an empty table, a set table. No, that's the Chiddush that the Torah is telling us. You'll walk in and you'll see that the table is filled with the chalos, the lechem hapanim. That is the Tzuras HaShulchan. That is the Tzuras HaShulchan. And therefore, when the Torah tells us that you have to go ahead and construct the Shulchan, the Torah emphasizes not merely the goal that's necessary, but also the lechem hapanim as part of the Tzuras HaShulchan as well. To the extent that this is true, that the lechem is considered to be part of the mitzvah sashulchan, part of the tzura sashulchan, now I would argue that's not true of the achila salachem. The achila salachem is part of the mitzvah of shulchan, though. The offering of the levona is part of the tzura sashulchan? No, certainly not. The offering of Lavona, that's part of the mitzvah Savoda. The Achila, Slechem HaPanim, is part of the mitzvah Sachila. What element is part of the mitzvah Sashulchan? That is the Sidur. And that's what the Rambam writes is the mitzvah of Lechem Hapanim. That's why the Rambam writes there's one element to this mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of the Sidur HaLechem, because the Achila and the Hakrava, that's the mitzvah Avoda. The Rambam writes, I'm going to count that separately, the mitzvah Avoda. But what is unique to the Shulchan that's not part of Avoda, that is the Sidur. And that emphasizes the role of the Sidur HaLechem, as part of the mitzvah HaShulchan. You walk and it's dark, right? The bayis, the Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan is incomplete. You walk in and the table is empty. The same is true as well. That is part of the Tzuras HaShulchan. And therefore, in all these parshios, when the Pasuk mentions the Shulchan, it emphasizes the Sidur, HaLechem, as part of the Tzuras HaShulchan. This is a comment that you find in the Ragit Shavra, the second volume of Sofnas Paneach. On page Ayin Gimel, there the Ragit Shavra writes that there are two aspects, two halachos of Lechem HaBayim. Number one, it's part of the Asiyas HaMenachos, like a carbon in general. Number two, it is part of, right, the Shulchan, part of the Shulchan. And that is the unique element of the Sidur, HaLechem. Yeah.
This is why we're not allowed to take Lechem HaPanim on Shabbos. While you have the old stuff, you have to keep it on.
Right, could very well be. In other words, the Pasuk mentions the Funai Tamid, there's an element of Tamid, and that means at the very moment, right, that you remove one, it has to simultaneously be placed with the other. Perhaps that's exactly that point, that the Tzuras HaShulchan must be Shulchan with Lechem HaPanim, and therefore simultaneous. In fact, the Ragit Shavra brings a Raya from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is found in the Sechei Shkalim in Perek Vav, where Yerushalmi writes a fascinating Shaila. What happens if for whatever reason, there's no new Lechem HaPanim? So what exactly do you do now? There's a mitzvah of Hakrava today on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Achila today on Shabbos. But you know what? If I remove the Lechem HaPanim, I will not be able to replace it with, because I don't have any, for whatever reason, any new Lechem HaPanim. What would happen in such a case where there's no new Lechem HaPanim? What would you do? That's a suffix that Yerushalmi raises. In other words, fascinating. You have a case where the Tzuras HaShulchan, a Shulchan with Lechem HaPanim, is in conflict with the mitzvah of the Avodah Samarachos. The mitzvah of the Samarachos dictates that you offer Lechem HaPanim today. But by offering the Lechem HaPanim today, now the Shulchan is going to be deficient. You know, if I don't have a carbon to offer tomorrow, if I don't have a carbon to offer later in the day, I wouldn't say, don't offer today's carbon. You don't have tomorrow's carbon, we'll worry about it. No, but why should that impact on today's? But Lechem HaPanim, you understand very well. Because if I offer today's Lechem HaPanim, now the Shulchan will be empty, and now the mitzvah, the element of the Menacho Shabbat, conflicts with the Tzuras HaShulchan. So now what do you do? Do I leave it, and now the Shulchan is intact, but I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah hakrava? Do I do the hakrava, but now the shulchan is impaired? So kind of what do you, that's a suffix that Yerushalmi raises. The maskan of the Yerushalmi is, you let the lechem remain. The lechem remains. Even though that there's a mitzvah to offer the lechem to the lechem upon him today, nonetheless, I can't do so at the expense of allowing the shulchan to remain empty. Very interesting chiddush. Reb Chaim, and the Chiddush HaGra HaLashas, right, deals with this Chiddush of the Yerushalmi, seemingly competing mitzvahs, which one takes precedence. But the whole assumption of this Yerushalmi is there are two halachos. There are two elements too, and what happens when they clash? What happens if the requirement of Lechem HaPanim as a mincha conflicts with the element of Lechem HaPanim as part of the Dini HaShulchan? Then what in fact do you do? And how do you know that the mitzvah of the Tzuras HaShulchan takes precedence over, right, the mitzvah Sakrava? Maybe one could argue, maybe it really is not a conflict. And that is that maybe the mitzvah Sakrava, not a separate halacha, that the mitzvah Sakrava is the Dinei Shabbos. The mitzvah Sakrava begins, there is the Sila Kalechem. When the lechem is removed, Me'al HaShulchan, that's when the mitzvah, right, of Hakrava commences. And that's when there is a mitzvah sachila. When you're misalek the lechem, then it is offered, and then it is eaten. If for whatever reason there is no silu kalechem, so as such, there's no mitzvah sakrab. It's not really a conflict where, what do I do? Why is this mitzvah any greater than that mitzvah? The answer is that the mitzvah sakrab and achila is a function of that element of the silu kalechem. Interesting chiddush. In fact, the Torah describes that on the Yom Shmini Miluim, that Moshe Rabbeinu set the Shulchan, and Moshe Rabbeinu placed the Lechem HaPanim, the very initial time that it was done, right, the Yom Shmini Miluim. It's interesting, the Gemara writes in Shabbos Peches, that you know what? That it was not on Shabbos. The Yom Shmini Miluim was on a Sunday. It's unusual that you have, right, a mitzvah salechem, which is not on Shabbos. The answer is, aside from the details of achila, and aside from the details of the hakrava, yeah, but this is part of the dinei hashulchan, that the shulchan has to be a set shulchan, and therefore, whenever you will construct or erect or set the shulchan, it's necessary to have lechem hapanim. Right, even if it is not necessarily that which is done on Shabbos. Typically, it is always Shabbos, the mitzvah of removal and replacement. But if, for example, the first time that was not a Shabbos, that would not justify allowing the Shulchan to remain empty. And therefore, an interesting chiddush, that when it comes to element of the Lechem HaPanim, that is considered to be part of the Dinei HaShulchan, and that is why the Rambam emphasizes that as the unique form, unlike the offering and the Achila, that's part of the Dinei Menachos in general, therefore it is not counted independently at all. Poshav Shat, the Ravid would also agree. When the Ravid was Masek, why does the Rambam count one? The Rambam does not mention the Hakrava and the Achila. How do you understand this? The Ravid writes it should be counted independently. What do you mean? The Ravid doesn't maintain that this is part of the Menachos Pashim Shen. Of course the Ravid maintains that's true. That one of the elements of the Hakrava, one of the elements of the Achila is Menachos, but the Ravid maintains that that is not the entire extent of. Part of the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim is the Hakrava. Part of the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim is the Achila, not merely as Hakrava Samanachos and Achila Samanachos, but just as the Sidur HaLechem is unique, the same thing is true with the Achila and the Hakrava, and therefore all of that is part of Lechem HaPanim, not just simply subsumed under the broader case of the Achila Samanachos as well. But it underscores why it is that this is mentioned in these parshios of Binyan, perhaps just as Tosfos writes that the shemen for the menorah and the besamim for the ktoras are necessary for Binyan, because that is the tzuras habayis. Perhaps the same thing here is true, but when it comes to these elements as well. So therefore that technical aspect of the mitzvah of lechem hapanim. We mentioned that the Rambam and the Ramban debate what exactly is the purpose, the essence of the Beis Hamikdash. Is it a Beis Avoda? Is it considered to be a Beis Hashchina? When you look in the Medrash in the very beginning of Parshas Truma, the Medrash gives fascinating insight in terms of the purpose of the Mikdash Hashem. Now, the Medrash Rabba in the beginning of Truma gives the following mashal, that there is a king who is marrying off his Bas Yechida, his only daughter, and he found an appropriate shidduch, but the melech was very, very distressed. The melech said, look, that I realize that my daughter is about to get married, and that means very normally that she's going to leave my palace, she's going to leave my home. Isn't that that which normally occurs? But the melech was very distressed that lifrosh himena eniyachol. The melech said that, but I can't part with my only child. So once I realize the right that the husband has to go ahead and to establish his own home, but at the same time I cannot go ahead and part with my daughter. So the melech said the following to his future son-in-law. Interesting deal. I don't know if it would fly today, but that's what the Midrash writes, that look, I grant you that right. You can go ahead and marry my daughter, and you can move to wherever you feel is necessary, but kiton echad aseli. That's what the Midrash writes. One condition. wherever you live, whatever house you build, you have to have a room for me. Right? You have to have my dwelling. So that has to be a wing of your house. And that was the deal. That was the deal that was broken. The Midrash Rabbah writes that that's the juxtaposition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah Hashem. That's the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, the last psukim, deal with the Matana Tova that we were given of the Torah Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Lifrosh Himena Inayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but nonetheless, this is like my only child. I can't separate myself from the Torah Hashem. So the deal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brokers with Knesset Yisrael Kav Yachal is, I will give it to you as long as Kiton Echad Haseli, as long as you make sure that wherever you travel with the Torah Hashem, right, there is a place, there is space for me, and that is the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. That whenever you're going to travel, the Mishkan will be with you. When you reach Eretz Yisrael, that will be the Beis Olamim, that the Torah, the Luchos, the Aron is housed in my bias, and that is the Kiton Echad, and that is the purpose of Asli Mikdash v'Shachanti B'Sarachon, that to ensure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be kavyacho welcome, right, in our home, because after all he's giving us the greatest gift. He is to an extent kavyacho parting with the Torah Hashem by granting it to us, alo b'shamayim, that now we are empowered in terms of the Shalshalas HaMesorah, and therefore, right, that necessity of Kiton Echad HaSeimi. That's what the Medrash writes. The very beginning of Parshas Truma. That is the purpose of the Mishkan Hashem. A base of Oda, a place of Ashras HaShchina, but also that kind of realization that we who have the schus of receiving the Torah Hashem, right, there's a precondition. The precondition is that we have to make sure that kavyachol there is ample room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, in our home as well. After all, we're zochet to the Torah Hashem, that automatically accompanies a sense of hashras hashchina. The Gemara writes that kol makom asher azkir shmi avoy lecho berachticha. Whenever a person is osek b'Torah, it results automatically in hashras hashchina. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Vogod Lelokeinu, you invoke Shem Hashem, the Gemara says, Berchas HaTorah. That's Esek B'Torah. Esek B'Torah, right, that invokes that sense of Hashras HaShchina, Vosli Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Sochem. So Mishkan is not merely, right, a moment of duplicating Mamet Har Sinai. It's not merely an opportunity to go to a form of Avodas Hashem, but it emphasizes the uniqueness of the Torah Hashem, and our obligation that we see to it that Kiton Echad HaSeili, to make sure that wherever we are, right, we're accompanied by the Torah Hashem, and the assurance that that will invoke a great sense of Asher HaSashim. Okay.
Sure.